You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is it too late in the process, though, to change that?
Nothing's too late, bro. Everything's made up in politics.
The Wire.
A recent study involving commuters in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland, found that women and people of intersectional identities were more likely to avoid using public transport out of fear of harassment. Anti-harassment strategies proposed in that study promoted the idea of encouraging members of the public to become active bystanders during situations of harassment, where they could intervene by helping to de-escalate situations, reporting harassment incidents to transport staff, and directly confronting perpetrators as a last-minute resort. I spoke to doctoral candidate Kirsten Tillerman from the Faculty of Engineering at the University of Auckland to discuss what active bystanders are and the role they could play in preventing harassment on Auckland's public transport. What are active bystanders and what role could they play on Auckland's public transport?
An active bystander is, well, actually, first I should define what a bystander is. That's any third-party witness to an incident. And bystanders can do nothing. They can also help an incident, or they can even make a situation worse. So an active bystander is someone who is paying attention and chooses to act.
Will active bystanders need to directly confront perpetrators, or are there other ways that they could help to stop harassment on public transport?
Right, that's a common misconception, actually, of being an active bystander, the only options to directly confront a perpetrator. And I would argue that should actually be considered last, because it can risk redirecting that violence or whatever it is that's happening towards the active bystander. And it can also risk escalating a situation. So there are a lot of other less risky options for being involved as a bystander. So some of those on public transport specifically, you could provide a distraction to help defuse the situation. That can look like asking an innocuous question like, when's the next stop? Or where does this line end? And key for that is the questions directed at the person who is experiencing the harassment, the targeted person, not the perpetrator. You just ignore them in that situation. You can also just delegate by going and asking someone to help. Maybe this is on a bus and there's an operator and they're not yet aware of the situation. All operators should have training in these types of situations. And it's also important, sometimes these things happen really quickly, and you can't do anything immediately in the situation. But checking in with someone who experiences harassment after the fact can actually go a long way. When people experience something like that and no one does anything, it can cause like another harm, an additional harm. Like, this happened to me and no one did anything.
How prevalent is harassment on Auckland's public transport?
Oh, for Auckland's public transport, I actually have not seen data on that. I do know that for the number of boardings that Auckland Transport sees, that they still do have like low rates of incidents, particularly severe incidents that we see showing up in the news. And I know that they have some reporting campaigns on board, like their Crime Stoppers partnership. I just haven't seen the data on what comes through with that.
Has harassment on Auckland's public transport had an impact on public transport usage amongst women and people of intersectional identities?
Yeah, so according to our study, which did happen in Auckland, we found that people will feel less comfortable taking public transport if they are concerned that they will be harassed or experience any sort of unwanted attention, and that a key component of what impacts that perception is whether they feel like they'll have the support of what we would call active bystanders, what we called in the survey. We talked about like community members. We also talked about actual staff, so Auckland Transport staff in that case as well. And yeah, so, and also the fact that perception of security. So even if you haven't actually experienced harassment, the fear of it is enough to prevent someone from taking public transport if they have the choice.
What procedures and safeguards are currently in place for those experiencing harassment on public transport?
Well, that, of course, varies by which system that they're taking. On Auckland Transport, or actually I'll talk about public transport in general. most public transport agencies are going to have both design and procedural things in place. And by design, I mean you're going to have lighting, you're going to have clear sight lines, you're going to have like CCTV that more so helps in an investigative after the fact standpoint, but that's still there. A lot of systems will have what we might call a panic button or a way to call for help immediately, those types of things. And then on the procedural side, there's usually going to be some sort of security stuff. You're going to have training for your security staff, but also your regular operators and other transit staff that are out on the system to recognize incidents and know how to respond, and hopefully also have really strong de-escalation training as well. And as I mentioned before, I've seen on Auckland Transport as well, some communications around, like, if you see something, report it here. And they have a partnership with Crime Stoppers, which is a third-party platform that collects data on that. So those are the types of, like, layered security strategies out there that help reduce the risk of riding public transport. And we're seeing a few more public transport agencies from around the world have active bystander programs.
Would you say that these procedures have been effective in preventing harassment?
For the data that we do have, it does seem that they are promising. I hedge that with that we do have flaws, because a lot of the barriers to understanding what's effective is that we don't have good data on when particularly harassment incidents or quote-unquote non-criminal incidents happen. And therefore, if we don't have the data on how they happen, how do we measure the effectiveness? And so that's why when public transport agencies are implementing strategies, it's really important to have a really strong way and culture for people to report incidents and to know that something's going to be done about it so that you can measure those effectiveness there.
Lastly, how can we encourage more members of the public to become active bystanders?
Well, I think for starters, it needs to start with a communication of what is unacceptable behavior on public transport to begin with. And because a lot of people who are targeted by harassment and other forms of violence, they're dealing with this often. And it's not just on public transport. Usually what happens on public transport is just a reflection of what's happening in the communities that they serve. And so it's on the burden for the public transport agency to make it clear that they have no tolerance policy there. Define what that is, provide a way for it to for people to report it, and then also follow up with that, providing an actual demonstration that you're doing something about it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.